morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. At the 3:30 Bible class this afternoon, Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the search to find in the Scriptures the answer to the question, what happens to those who have never heard of Jesus? That should be very interesting. Please refer to your bulletin for other activities scheduled for this afternoon and the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled during this coming week. There will be the Youth Bible Study on Friday, January 26th at 7 o'clock in the afternoon or in the evening at the Tomlinson home. Also, we have new thermostats that can be set automatically and programmed. And so we would ask that you refrain from changing them yourself. I suppose not many of you do that. But in any event, if you have some questions about how the temperature is, you might take it up with someone, perhaps Pastor Tomlinson, because he is the one who multitasks here all the time and has put in the new thermostat system, which also is can be overridden by remote control. So we're really on the cutting edge of this technology here. The scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 113, verses 1 to 3. Praise, O you servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 27, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. Continue our worship now with hymn number 272, The Solid Rock.
Thank you.
Stand now as we sing hymn number 281, Never Alone.
To look to the Lord in prayer, please remain standing. Heavenly Father, how precious is in thy sight your people. And they are precious because each one of us have been sealed by the Spirit of God and by the presence of Christ. And we are blessed because you dwell within us. And now we can obey you, we can follow you, we can go in life with the assurance that at the end is going to be beautiful and marvelous when we see your presence. Father, as a church body, meanwhile, we keep on preaching and teaching the word of the mighty God. We are focusing essentially on the values of thy word and in the preciousness that in Christ Jesus we have a new nature, and that new nature is able to look upon your word and follow your instructions. So together as a family of God, we are thankful for the word of God, the Bible, for the Old Testament, the story of Israel, for the New Testament, the story of the church. And may we bind both together and find what we need for our life, the instructions, the encouragement, the counsel, the comfort, so that we can keep on going. We thank you for our missionaries who are in every place that you call them to be. Some in South America, others in Papua New Guinea, in different places, others in America. And so, Father, we are so grateful to have these series of missionaries who testify to us of their call. We are grateful for the visit that we have done to them and see their work in action. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity not only to preach the gospel here, not only to be in the internet and radio ministry and KKMC, not only to be in tape ministry and CD ministry, and the written page, but Father, how wonderful it is to have other families. Our church makes a collaboration in their salaries so that they can go and preach the gospel everywhere. As a body of believers, Father, we have people from time to time who are sick. And so we pray, Lord, for Carla Galeotto, who was married here 10 years ago. And she is a faithful worker in Family Radio. She's at a convalescent home trying to recover. And we pray, Lord, that the doctors will find exactly what happened so that she can be active again. We pray for Loretta Forrest, our wonderful lady, who is waiting your call, Father, with great enthusiasm and a great encouragement. For Donald McDowell, Father, who has been in surgery, he's improving. He wants to come and visit with us today. And Father, I told him to just take his time. He's such a wonderful man, and we pray that you will bring all the place and whatever the body needs in balance so he can recuperate. And Father, for our friends, Mary and Jerry West in Costa Rica, the Mary will find release from pain, and the Jerry, soon as he goes to another checkup, will find victory over the colon cancer. Thank you, Lord, thank you, that we can bring to you our needs and our necessities. Father, we are here this morning to preach your word, because without your word, we have nothing to say. And without your spirit, we are helpless. Therefore, give us your word today, and let the Spirit of God show us your way. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people to provide. And we pray that as they do so, we will meet all our needs and keep on working in the ministry of God. Bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Hello again. It is time for your evangelism update. Please go to the book of Jeremiah, which is in page 443. We got a good word today. And in the book of Jeremiah, go to the first chapter and go to verse 17. And it says this: "You therefore, gird up your loins and arise, and speak unto them all that I command you. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound you before them." Now, last week we talked about how Jeremiah was told by God personally that he was known of God before he was even born, that he was set apart, and he was to be a messenger unto a nation, a really wicked nation. And the question which I posed was, are we Jeremiah's? Are we to be messengers to this crooked generation? And indeed, yes, we are. And we had that in the Great Commission. So as a general requirement for every single Christian, we have to do the work of an evangelist. You may not be called to the office of an evangelist or the office of a pastor, but every single one of us, as a general requirement, do need to be doing the work of an evangelist. Now, I know that you guys have been seeing these things in the church. Now, one of the things I would encourage every single one of you to remember is that this card right here is incomplete without one of these. But we're going to leave these up there because we want you to go and do the work of an evangelist willingly. Now, God has put it on to us that everything that we do will be judged by. Now, you have it in your responsibility now. You know what is required of you. And God would not give you such a commandment to go and preach the gospel if if you couldn't do it. You can all do it, and it's all through obedience. And he says right here, get yourself ready. Gird up your loins. Be prepared for how God is going to use you personally. He's not going to use you the same as he's going to use you over there. And he's not going to use you the way he's going to use you over there. You are going to be used individually by God. The point, though, is you have to get yourself prepared. You need to get up, and then you need to go and do what God commands you to do, which is to preach the word. So, as you are leaving today, do not forget one of these. You can take 20 of them if you want. And if you notice, every single one of these, I put a sticker on personally by myself. So please don't just throw it away. I've spent hours putting stickers on these Bible tracts, okay? So please, please pick some up and please hand them out. It makes my job a lot easier as an evangelist, okay? All right, but I love you guys, and I just pray Godspeed upon all of you to go out there and reach people, because there's a really loving family here, and I think that there's a lot of people out there that really need that.
Thank you, Brother Chris, for that encouragement. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Joshua. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 141. We will be reading Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all according to that what is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our gracious Father and our God, we thank you that you have given us this great treasure, the Bible, so that we may know you and the Lord Jesus Christ. May you always bless this church body with the goal of continually reading it with thoughtfulness and observing all that is written, even as you commanded your servant Joshua. We cannot live without it as our spiritual food. We also recall the words of the Lord Jesus, that if we love him, we would keep his commandments. We pray that you would bless your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he comes to feed us from your word, so that we may serve you with knowledge and wisdom. We pray this also for all that are listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, strengthened by the Holy Spirit's power, that their focus as well as ours would be to serve you, the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And just before the sermon this morning, inside the bulletin is a report from Martha Ferretti with pictures from the ministry. Don't forget to look upon and see what God is doing right there in the city called Pilar. It means exactly what says in Spanish, about 30 miles from the city of Buenos Aires. It takes about 2 hours to get there by car, 5 hours by bus. So you are really blessed in America when we talk about 30 or 40 miles and we do it in 20 minutes, all right? All right, Ramil, with the Mercedes and 30 minutes. All right. Lord, bless us as we look upon your word. In Jesus we pray. Amen. This month of January is very important because the message is exactly for you. How you can stand strong in the presence of God. Our first sermon was From Selfishness to Common Sense. To Common Sense. And that was the story of the prodigal son, remember? And he found grace in Luke chapter 15. How that he became aware that he was a sinner and that he needed God, and how God waited for him ahead of him. And that's always the case. When God draws you to himself, he's always there to welcome you. Actually, you need no explanations, just believe. The second was from abandonment to prime minister. This was the story of Joseph last Sunday. How he was abandoned to be a servant in the house of a foreign officer, Potiphar. And then he became the prime minister in a foreign land, which is a great accomplishment. And the reason is that he focused his life on God. He never thought on himself. He never reclaimed anything. He remembered. He let the brothers know what happened. But he forgave everybody and he focused on God and focused on God. And God took him to the maximum place. The Bible said that Pharaoh said to him, there will be no man above you except me. So he was second in command. Now today I want to take you to the book of Joshua. And you do well if you open your Bible in Joshua chapter 1. From servanthood to president of his nation. All right. Again, another giant who moved on from a very humble position, a day-to-day work, happened to be his work was a general, a day-to-day work, to a great and mighty man who made decisions for the nation. And what my focus will be is to help you to understand what caused this man from a daily routine to become such an important man in the nation of Israel. All right? So as we go through the passage, I hope that you pick up the idea. What was the key, the secret, that made this man so much a success? As always I do, I like to see the background of the person that we're talking about. When two or three pastors meet together, the first question they ask to each other is, where do you study? So the other pastors want to know what you know and how far you study. You have a bachelor, you have a master, you have a doctorate degree, and so that they got an idea of who you are, all right? And that's very, very proper. And so now we're going to see who is this man. First of all, he was the son of Nun. Look in Numbers, go to your Bible, number 13 and verse 8. That's on page 97 in your Bible. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 8. Giving a recall of the spies, the Bible specifies the record like this. Of the tribe of Ephraim, God choosing a different man, 20 of them. Of the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun. All right, that was his name, Hoshea, the son of Nun. So he was the son of Nun. If you go with your eyes to verse 16, you will find that his name was changed to Joshua. In verse 16, we read, these are the names of the man which Moses sent to spy out of the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua, or Joshua, as it is written in our language. So his name was changed to Joshua by Moses. He was first mentioned in the Bible in a battlefield. If you go to the book of Exodus, which is the second book of the Bible, in chapter 17 and in verse 9, you find that this man is for the first time mentioned in the Bible and is mentioned in the battlefield in charge of an army. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And so as Moses was the director and the faithful giant of God, he always, the faithful giant, need assistance. And Joshua was his general. He will go to the battlefield and he will fight for him. And then if you go to the book of Joshua in chapter 24, the Bible tell us that he became the servant of God. I just go to Joshua 24, and I'm going to do two things. I'm going to read for you Joshua 1:1, and to encourage you in this business of servanthood. In Joshua 1:1, the Bible said, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, Moses was the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, that's the highest title you get with God. You don't get the title of general, or prime minister. You get the title of servant of God. Many times when a husband is very demanding, a lady will say, you know, I look like a servant. But that's what God wants. And that's the greatest title you can have in your life. Because you're not serving your husband, you're serving God. Okay? So look at this. Servant of the Lord. It came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant. At that time, Joshua was Moses' servant. Minister is the word servant. He was Moses' servant. Now I want you to look in 24 and 29. After 40 years, after he became active in Israel as number one man, look at the title that he gets. Verse 29 and Joshua 24. And it came to pass, after these things, that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord. Do you got it? He started very long serving Commander-in-Chief Moses, president, and also he was the Congress of Israel. He wrote the law, all right? So he was the Congress, he was the House of Justice, he was everything in one man. No wonder he had a stress, and his father-in-law has to help him. And one man, everything was in his hand. And Joshua was his servant. But after performing 40 years, God said, that's my servant. Whew. I hope when I go into the presence of God, that will be the words of God for those who preach the word, that we are his servant. Now let's see his career. My wife's favorite man in the Bible is Joshua. And the favorite scripture is verse 8. His career is just so impeccable that to me, it's not about anybody else, but it's so impeccable and so simple to understand that will make you, young people, strong and mighty as you follow these instructions. All right, I go verse by verse. He was divinely appointed for the job. It's not that Moses picked him up. No. God did. Go with me to Numbers again in chapter 27. And I'm going to read for you verses 18 to 23. God handpicked Joshua. Some people said, well, Moses chose him. Well, Moses chose him after God picked him up. All right? Are you in here in Numbers in chapter 27? And verse 18. And the Lord said unto Moses, the Lord is the speaker, is the subject of the sentence, all right? Jehovah. And Jehovah said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him. The Lord did not say, take Joshua, the guy who is so brilliant, the guy so intellectual, the guy with 4 college degree. And the God said, take that man in which my spirit is in his heart. Young people, if God's going to use you, you need to be saved. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because when you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, the Spirit of God dwells in you, said the scripture. And then God can use you. No wonder there is so much hassle in churches. I wonder if those who are in high positions are saved. Because if you are not saved, you never understand the work of God. So the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thy honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. See, when you have a leader, it's not just a leader. You have to be obedient to the leader. Verse 21. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim. And you have to study the book of Leviticus to understand that. Before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel, with him even all the congregation. And Moses did. Boy, Moses knew then that he's going to be substituted. Moses knew then that he's going to be set apart. God said, what that man said is going to be done. Where that man goes, we go. And Moses knew now that he's out of the picture. That's a great man too. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. And he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands upon him and gave him charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. So he was handpicked by the Lord. What a responsibility on Joshua. His guy is going to be the leader. You listen to him. When he said left, you move left. That's leadership, all right? No voting. What way we go? No. When he said left, we go left. As a husband in the home.
All right? When you move right, right. Because I put my spirit in his heart. All right? He was divinely appointed for the job of president of Israel. I wish God would appoint someone. As I watch television and I see those who prepare to be candidate, I pray, God, will you have someone in which your spirit is on it so that we can relax for a while. Number two, he was called to action by God. Look in chapter 1. Now let's go to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. He was called to action by God. Now here's a man who has an ordination service, if you may. He was ordained to be the president of the nation. He did nothing until God told him. People of God, God called you. Don't move anything until God move you to whatever it is. Okay? Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass. Imagine the shock of Israel. Their leader disappeared. Remember, nobody buried Moses. He went to Mount Nebo and never came back. And now there are 6 million Jewish people in Jordania. They're all there waiting. Nobody asked, where are we waiting for? Where those people, even though they were bad, they were trained to obey God. Nobody questioned God. God, Moses is gone. And I don't read in the Bible that Israel said, where Moses went? They were in awe when God speak. Oh, if we can be like that. And here it is. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Moses, my minister, my servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Verse 2, now therefore arise. So here it is. He was called to action by God. All right. Number 3, he was given a plan of action. See, we are given a plan of action in our life. And so Joshua, look at verse 2. And Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. That's the first action. Don't be in a sleeping Christian. Arise. Go over this Jordan. Thou and all these people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Joshua, you spy Kadesh Barnea, which is way south on the edge of the Sinai desert. Now they are on the middle, about 2,000 feet high, the first mountain, which is Jerusalem. And I said, Joshua, I know you have not been here, but I'll be with you. You just wake up and take action. This is what I want you to do. A, B, C. That's God for us. Are you married? Well, God said, here is what you're going to do, wife. Here's what you're going to do, husband. Amazing. How easy is life when we follow a book? Amen. Some people said to me the other day, he said, well, you know, we need to write more premarital books because people get married, they don't know what to do. Well, they may be no Christians. Because God wrote the book, what to do as a Christian. To make love with your wife, you read the Song of Solomon, and you will get a real God, good lover, ladies, if he followed the Song of Solomon. You will get a great husband if he followed 1 Corinthians and so on. So you got a book. What happened is you do not read it. That's what happened. Okay? Number 2, he was given a plan of action. You will cross the Jordan and take over the land. Now, number 4, he was given assurance of success. Look at verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you as I said to Moses. Joshua, there is no worries whatsoever. Oh, there will be battles. Your life will be in jeopardy a few times. The people that you lead will be a little rebellious too. But I tell you, Joshua, whatever you do is yours. Whew. What a responsibility. Number 5, he was given limitations for his work. Look at verse 4. It's not that he can do whatever he wants to. Look at the limitations. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, that's Iraq, all the land of the Hittites, that's Jordania, and unto the great sea, that's the Philistine, the Mediterranean, toward the going down of the sun, shall your coast be. Here is what I want you to do. You cross the Jordan, and from here to here, from A to B, and C to D, that is yours. Don't go any other place, because I'm not there. You have to go in this place. It's just like us. You are single, this is what I want you to do, to be a holy example to the mighty people that watch you. You are married, your wife, I want you to do A to B. Husband, I want you to do C to D. See, and the devil tried to mix all of this and make a mess of marriage. Make a mess of marriage. Amazing. God said, I'll be with you if you follow my limitations. I remember when I was a soccer player, I cannot get out of the small area. And I like to go out because I can jump right and the photographer take pictures and then I show everybody. Look at that. And they put a goal on me. I was too far. And the guy was too smart and threw a ball like a parable. And for more than I jumped, I looked back from the floor and the ball was slowly going into the net. And the people were mad. And almost I lost my salary. That caught my attention. And listen, and life is like that. From the moment that you are born, God has a plan. Remember Ephesians 2:10. God has a plan for you. Discover that plan. And as you develop your life, as you move in your life as a single person, you are to excel in your school. You are to excel in your work. You are to show holiness unto people. And as you get married, read those passages in Ephesians and in Colossians and do what God said with joy. And your husband will do his part with joy. And when you got children, you really got to work. You got to train them and train them. Remember Psalm 127? They become like arrows in the hands of a mighty man. In other words, one day those children will go out of your home and will do exactly equal to your home. So watch out what you do in your home, because God said your children will imitate you or be afraid of you. Wow, what a simple responsibility. God said, yes, go, I give you everything, but you have to go in my limitations. No compromise. Whew. I know it's unpopular, but it's the word of God. Number 6, he was given personal instructions for success. Personal instruction for success, who is still valid today. If you follow these instructions, you will have the same success if you are a Christian. I repeat. Okay, I go one by one, verse by verse. Number 1, verse 5, God will be with you. There shall no any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That almost Hebrews chapter 13, 5. I will not fail you. You just go, I will be with you. That's the only powerful assurance. God give this man personal instructions. The first thing you need to know, that I will be with you. God is with him. We need the new property for our church. Don't worry. That one do not work. Say, God, you let us know where. That's it. I don't want to lose my head in getting a property. I let God choose it. I don't want to use your money unwisely to get on a property to pay interest to somebody. I just want you to trust God. He's going to give us what we needed. The same thing for your life. God is going to give you, God is with you. You're going to, you know, young people, when you finish college, you think you are good. That was the best time of your life. The after colleges were really tough because you're not going to look for a job. It is not the same as being in college where you take class A, B, C, D, and so on. You go to a company and there are 200 people around you. And what are you going to do? You just trust God. God, is this job for me? I maybe like it or not, but is this for me? If it's for me, open up. If it's not for me, please close it down. That's it. Come on, walk by faith and not by sight. That's the way to do it. God will be with him. Now, verse 6. Be firm. Look at verse 6. Be strong. That's the word firm. Okay? Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and a good courage. Be firm. Don't take options by yourself. Be strong. Follow the book. Just follow the book. Somebody told me the other day, he said, you have a great location in your church. If you change the building, and the man came twice here, an FBI agent, and he said, if you change the building, have a modern building, and you change the music, you have a little action on it, you pack that church in the way you speak. I knew that was the devil counseled. Not that the man is a devil, but the devil would like to say, if you, your wife is not good, you have changed for another wife who is more sweet. That's the devil's. That's the devil's. And see, God said clearly here, be strong, be firm. This is what God said. This is what I'm going to do. Young people, you're is harder because you have nobody around you. So you say, God, give me that strength. Give me that grace to have a strength that whatever you said, I will do it regardless what happens. Regardless what happens. And I tell you, these... It's wonderful. You have no other way to go. This is be firm, God said. Now, be bold. Be firm and a good courage. Bold. This is what I need to do. This is it. I'm not speaking just in my mouth. When I was on radio, the president of the radio told me, he said, we're going to give you time. If you don't change your mind, you have to leave. To take your time. And a year passed by. Nothing happened. So he said one day, June 13, 2002, at noontime, was 2:15, never forgot. He said, I have to fire you because you believe you are a pastor. And I believe there is no more pastors and there is no more church. So do what you want. So I stood up in my office and I hugged him with all my heart. I said, thank you for serving you 29 and a half years. He was shocked. He was so shocked that he said, well, here's a check. Did I keep your money? Well, don't ever leave this office. Your furnitures are here. Everything is here. You don't have to leave. So you leave or I don't leave. No. So you're not officially anymore, but you are my friend, he said. Yes. You got to have patience and love for people, regardless if you get hurt. Then you show them love. And each time, once a month, when I walk over there and Raquel do some work, he looked at me like he's surprised. He's surprised. And he charged me with his ideas. And I smile. I'm no longer an employee, so I laugh about it. But I love the man. And I feel so sorry for the mistake, the theological mistake. I feel so sorry. Because his desire is to serve the Lord, but it's in the wrong package. A great man of God with the wrong package. But you need to be bold. You need to be courageous. Our church picked up the bills for me. Unexpectedly. So beautiful. So beautiful how you trust the Lord. You're never alone. You're never alone. So verse 6. Now the next one. This is the hardest one. Follow the book. Verse 7. Only, like nothing happened. Only, because what a way to write God, you know? He says, by the way, said God, be thou strong and very courageous to do what? That thou may observe to do. Not that thou may remember the book of Genesis and Hebrew by memory. That will be pancake. That thou will observe to do according to all the law. Not just some. Do you like it? To all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn now from it to the right hand or to the left hand. And so God is saying, follow the book. What is the next one? In verse 7, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand. Do not take liberties. We do that. In your budget, do not take liberties. Oh, I have an income of $100 a month. That's the salary in South America for a retired person. $10 belong to the Lord. Even if you have no butter, $10 belong to the Lord. $10 go to saving, and you leave out of the 80, and you will be a successful man. Don't take liberties. Well, I need this today, or I need this to the other. Later on, I put it on. You never put it. Just young people, you really want to have money. I mean, money. Just give to God what belongs to Him and study hard, work hard, and the rest is history. God is going to bless you. Where the money is going to come, you never know. But it's going to be there. See, turn not from me to the right hand or to the left hand. Don't take liberties on the Word of God. Whatever the Word of God, people say, and how do you know the Word of God? Whatever the Word of God said, that's it. The Word of God said, do not lie, do not lie. The Word of God said, have one wife, you have one wife, not two wives. You know, whatever God said. Oh, my wife is tough. Well, you are selected, not me, so whatever. You know what I mean? Do it. Do it. What God said is going to honor you. He's going to honor you to the highest level of your life. You never dream what God's going to do with you. I never forgot when I shaved my hands at President Ford when he was in the presidency on behalf of the radio. Never forgot that moment. Me, a little tiny Spanish boy shaking the hand on behalf of the largest institution and radio broadcast to the President of the United States. You know, this is amazing things. God take you places. You can't believe it. But don't take options. Liberties. Now, imagine you're going to make a house, and the Cassandrians are making one for the granddaughter. Imagine, Brother Jack, that you have two set of plans who are different. And you handle to the contractor two set of plans and say, I want to do that. The poor guy got a headache right away. Is that right? One, the foundations, and one plan goes this way, and the other plan goes in the other way. Which one I follow? That's our life. Have one set of plans. Look in verse 8. This book of the law, if you know Psalm 119, the Bible is called the law. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou shalt mayest observe to do. God is very, very clever. According to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thyself prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. So, keep one set of plans and review the plans daily. Review the plans daily. Look at what they said here. This book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That's a way to say every day. In Hebrew, you cannot say day. If you do not, go to my office. I have a Hebrew watch over there. And when Sunday school was 3:15. 9:30. 3:15. All right? A third hour of the day. And during the day and during the night. Read it in the morning, read it in the evening. Review the book. Review the book. If you don't know where to start, start in the book of Proverbs, chapter. Today is 21, read chapter 21. Tomorrow, chapter 22, read chapter 22. Just do it. Read it. It's going to get into your head, and very soon you're going to leave that word. Fathers, read the book to your wife and to your children. Fathers, read the book to your wife and to your children. Shut off the television. Shut off all things. And sit down in your home and review the plans that God gave you. Otherwise, the world will give plans and you will miss it.
So what is God's formula for this? Here it is at the end of verse 8. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What is the formula? Obedience equal prosperity. You never go wrong when you obey God. So now the test. Was this man successful or not? Well, we have to go then to chapter 21. Remember what God said? Wherever your soul, your feet touch it. Did this man deliver the land to Israel? Yes or not? All right. Will this man give the land to Israel and Israel occupy all the promised land? Yes or not? Chapter 21. Chapter 21 is 40 years later than chapter 1. Only 40 years. Without airplanes, without missiles, just with a hand. All right, here it is. Verse 43. Chapter 21, verse 43. And the Lord gave unto Israel. I like it. The Bible doesn't say, and Joshua gave to Israel. The Bible says, and the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers. And they possess it and dwell therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There fell not out of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Is that success? 100% deliverance in Joshua. 120 years old, now relaxed, and he said, boy, God did it. Never think you did it. God did it. You know what happened when we had success? We lowered the guard. We lowered the guard. I don't know if you like boxing or not, and I don't know if you're going to criticize me because I mentioned this or not. But we have good heavy boxers, and I went to boxing every Saturday in Argentina to see this and the other. And there was a great boxer, but once he knew the other guy was soft in their muscles, you know, he tried to play with the other guy, and he hit the muscles, and then if you get hit here 20 times heavy weight, then you're like this. So he just liked to floor. And he, one day the other guy was not so stupid. And he felt like he faked it that he was down. So the guy, and the other guy came in, and whoo, the guy blew up the ring. This is what happened to us when everything goes well. Well, today's a nice day. I don't go to church. We have money. We use it for this, darling, and later on we put it in the church and so on. Even in service, coming back to the church again. No, I just go in the morning. We take liberties. When things goes well, we take liberties. Look, America is a mess because of the prosperity. There is no country in the world so prosper like America. I tell you. I mean, prosperity you never dream. We're going to Argentina and we're asking people, what do we bring? You have to bring two luggage for you and five luggage of gift because they are not welcome unless you bring gift. Okay? And people have needs. So her brother, who was here one time, long, tall guy, he said, I need a pair of tennis shoes with those walking shoes. You know, $15, that's, when you make $100, $15. He said, okay, we buy one like we did before. Oh, but no white. No white, no. Only the Americans wear white. And so in the street, they see the tennis shoes white. They know it from America. They knock your head and they take off your tennis shoes. Wow. You're talking about national security. I mean, just a guy looking at your shoes, oh, I like those shoes. And they take your shoes out and run. I mean, can you live in a country like that? He accomplished the task. But when everything was so smooth, from chapter 21 and 24, the president regulates and the people start mixing themselves with foreigners. So look to chapter 24 and verse 15. This is the famous verse. Finally, the president, before he died,
He stand before his people and look at what he says. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. It don't sound like America. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, that's the husband, that's the man, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's America today. You cannot regulate Christianity in the government, but you can regulate Christianity in your own life and in your own home. And you husbands stand in your home and said, we will follow the Lord. No activity on Sunday except to worship the Lord. No money will spend in anything else after, before we give to the Lord. I will serve my wife and be a delight to her. And I will be kind and gentle, which is hard sometimes for us. We maybe speak a word a little harder, which we never dream and never want to do it. And it's very hard. And we will make our wives so relaxing that they are waiting for me to come home and she will jump in my arms and kiss me. And in other words, we will do what God said and life will change. That's what we need in America. We don't need a new president or a new Congress. We need all the Christians to follow the book. Amen. And when all the Christians follow the book, everything comes in place and America will be strong again. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the counsel, so strong, so in detail. They encourage us to start all over again. Cause us to enrich our life in such a way that we will walk strong before you. Thank you for the encouragement. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Grace in me may be thine.
us stand for the benediction, please. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord may his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In Jesus we pray. Amen.